Thank you, worship team. Don't you appreciate the beautiful job they do of leading us into God's presence? Amen. And I want to honor those who are here as well to worship. As I was driving into church this morning, I seen all the bicyclists out riding their bikes and people jogging and people headed to their destination of pleasure. There's a lot of opportunities to distract us away from God's house. Amen? Thank you for being here today. Thank you for having a love for Christ and a love for worship that you wanted to be here. I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything I enjoy more than being in God's house with God's people, worshiping the God that saved me from sin and set me free. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, this morning I'm going to be preaching from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. There'll be other scriptures as well. Page 2 in the Pew Bible, if you do not have a Bible with you, and if you don't own a Bible, please take that Pew Bible home with you as our gift. We believe it's important to have God's Word in our hands. Amen? Amen. And it's good to have it on our phone. It's good to have access to it, but we need to make sure that we have this in our possession. Amen? Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I believe we need to make sure we have it in print. People died to give us this. Did you know that? And it's important to have this. I'm not against technology. I use it all the time. But we need to have God's Word in our hand. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come before You. And Lord, we truly do long for more of You and to worship You and to hear from You. And Lord, I just pray that You'd make Your strength perfect in my weakness as I deliver this message. May the Holy Spirit empower Your Word that's spoken. And may You speak to our hearts. And thank You, Lord, that we are in Christ more than conquerors. And so bless us today with Your Word and the message You'd have us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've read or seen the account, but there's a lion that's on the loose, and it's been wreaking some havoc in some neighborhoods. People have been killed. They've been wounded. They're living in fear because of this one lion. And no one can seem to capture it. He's even been spotted in some very nice neighborhoods. They even gave the lion a name. Satan. He was first spotted in the Garden of Eden, the place that God had created as the perfect place to live. Only at that time, he didn't come as a lion, he was disguised as a serpent. He is identified in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 as this. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be alert, of sober mind. Your enemy prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. One of the dangers of how Satan works is he comes in disguise. He often changes his appearance in order to conceal his identity. Satan also disguises himself as an angel of light. And the devil's greatest weapon has always been deception. And the most effective deception to convince people that evil is actually good and what is dark is actually light. We see that all around us, don't we? Not that he's winning, but he's convincing a lot of people in our culture, in our nation, that what is evil is good, and what is good is considered evil. Paul was speaking of false prophets in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. And listen to what he says. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading or disguising as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be their actions they deserve. It's amazing how the enemy disguises himself. And that's why we have to know God's word, amen? That's why we need to be alert and aware. What is more amazing is he's been using these same tactics since almost the beginning of time, back from the first deception in the Garden of Eden with Eve. But those tactics are still working in many people's lives today. And we as well, even as Christians, have to be careful that we do not fall prey to his schemes. Sometimes we have the ideal, at least I did. I remember when I took my first pastorate, I thought, it's going to be so easy to be a Christian. I'm going to be preparing sermons, I'm going to be in the Word, and it's just going to be easier to be a Christian. Guess what? It got harder. Why? Because we move to the front lines. We move into our relationship with God. When we grow and we move into doing what He wants us to do, the enemy cranks up his schemes and his attacks on our lives. And often as followers of Christ, we can still be affected by these strategies of the enemy if we're not aware, prepared, and prayerful. The scripture makes it clear in Matthew 26, 40, 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And the implication here is that temptations will come. They're going to happen. The temptation is not sin, but the entering into it is. And I just want to say this morning, why would I preach this to the church? Because the church is under attack this morning. I remember in my first pastorate, Sister Ernest, and I may have mentioned her before, but she was 90-some years old, and I remember as a 20-some, I was 28 years old as a pastor, I went to visit her. And I remember her telling me one time, Pastor Rick, I want to tell you, I may be in my 90s, but I haven't arrived. The enemy still attacks me, and I have to defend my faith. In the military strategy involves using military resources to gain supremacy and power over the opponent or to reduce the opponent's will to fight. That's Satan's strategy as well. He wants to have power over us on some level and discourage us so that we will give up or give in. It grieves my heart this morning that there are religious organizations and even churches that are caving in to the pressures of our society who are pushing their agendas in our culture. Now understand this morning, the purpose of this message is not to glorify Satan. The purpose of this message is to expose him and his tactics and how we can counteract what he is doing. It's important to revisit these familiar accounts in the scripture. I like going back to the stories that I grew up with in Sunday school and I heard over and over. And of course, how many have heard the story of Adam and Eve and the tree and the serpent? How many have probably heard it 100 times? And it's kind of like they say about the sign they put up along the highway. They say after 2 weeks of driving by a new sign along the highway, you don't see it anymore. And that can happen with God's Word if we're not careful. So I love going back to the familiar stories or accounts in the Scripture and looking a little deeper and slowing down a little bit and capturing what's really going on. Genesis 3, 1 through 5, let's read that together. I'll read it. You don't have to read out loud, but you can follow along. And see, we see the strategy of the enemy right up front. Notice what he picks to deceive Eve. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan makes three very distinct statements here in this passage to Eve that really identify his strategy to get her to yield to his temptation. And he's still using these same exact strategies today. Three statements he makes here. Did God really say? You will not certainly die. For God knows. I want to look at what Satan is really doing and saying in these three statements that he makes to Eve and what his purpose is in saying them. You might be surprised how familiar they sound even today. And then I also want to look at how we can counteract those attacks and those temptations, because in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Amen? So what is Satan's strategy? Well, overall, it's deception. It's illusions. Deception is the act of intentionally hiding the truth or causing someone to believe something that is not true, to believe a lie. Sometimes we overlook the aspect of the idea that hiding the truth is just as dangerous as a blatant lie. What's amazing about this account that Eve is surrounded in the garden by all that God had created and given them. Imagine just all this vast land, fruit and abundance and beauty and flowers. And she gets obsessed with one tree. Makes you think of a child. I don't know, what is it about little kids and sometimes teenagers and sometimes adults? We tend to gravitate towards that which will harm us. You can have the whole park to play in as a child, and you find that one dangerous thing to go towards. I remember my son when he was young, I don't know, he was two, walking. He ran around the house. We had this iron furniture in the yard. And he runs clear around the house. This is a little different. He didn't desire it, but he waits till he gets to the iron furniture and he falls down and busts his face. Satan's first approach was to cause doubt. To doubt what God said. Did God really say? Have you had the enemy come alongside you or whisper in your ear or have the thought, did God really say that? Maybe we wouldn't consciously say, I don't believe it, but by our actions, do we question what God has said? You see, if Satan can get us to begin to doubt the truth of God and what God has said, he's like that aggressive salesman who he, and I know we don't have door-to-door salesmen anymore. We do everything online mostly, but Used to, they would talk about the salesman coming to your door and they're trying to sell you something, and they talk about him getting the foot in the door so you can't shut the door, and he finishes sales pitch. When we start listening to the doubts, and understand, folks, don't take this as a condemnation. This is a warning. This is an alertness for the church and the body of Christ who's under attack right now. When doubts come, be careful. You don't buy into the doubt and let Satan get his foot in the door. Because as we're going to see here as we walk through this scripture, he doesn't stop with his foot in the door. That's just the beginning. Doubt is the first step of leading us towards disobedience or unbelief. In every temptation, there is an undermining of what God has made known to us in His truth. And He also wants us to get our eyes off God and what God wants for our lives, and to get us focused on what allures us away from God. James 1:14 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." And let me just say this. I know there's kind of a debate. Is this my sinful desire or is this Satan? Let me just say, if it is leading you away from God, Satan's behind it. Amen? And Satan's objective here was not to draw Eve away from all the rest of the garden. He wasn't trying to get her to not notice the rest of the garden. His purpose was to draw her away from God Himself. And in drawing her away from God, He robbed her and Adam of all that God had created and made available to them. We hear a lot about the forbidden tree, but often we overlook the fact that there was another tree called the tree of life there for them as well. They could have chosen that one. And just as now, Jesus is the tree and the source of life available to every one of us here today if we'll believe and partake of Him. But we have to make a choice. And the last thing the enemy wants us to do is make the choice to partake of the tree of life, Jesus Christ. Remember, Satan's strategy is to gain power over us or reduce our desire and will to fight, to get us to listen to him rather than listen to God. Then we have the second deception. You will not certainly die. Here Satan is directly undermining what God has said. First there was doubt. Now he's undermining. He tries to cause us to believe that choosing to disobey God does not have consequences. But the reality is there are always consequences to rebellion and disobedience to God. Everything we see going on in the Middle East as a result of Abraham and Sarah's doubting that God was going to keep his promise and them taking things into their own hands to have a son through Hagar have played out in consequences. Amen? Right now, we're living out the consequences. The biggest lie of the enemy, or one of the biggest lies, I won't say the biggest, is to convince us that our choices don't matter and there are not consequences to our choices, both good and evil. Amen? There are good consequences to good choices. I do want to say there is grace and forgiveness and the hope of Jesus Christ if we've made wrong choices. Amen? Amen. It's not the end of our hope. Scripture says if we do sin, we have a mediator, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad He mediates for us this morning? Deception number three. For God knows. Here, Satan is causing suspicion towards God. Listen to what he says. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Do you see the undercurrent of this statement? This is the most corrupt lie of them all. He has gone from doubt to a lie about consequences, and now he is undermining the trustworthiness of God. To question God's integrity and make Eve think that God is not trustworthy. He is speaking for God with deception and corrupting the truth of what God has said, convincing her that God is just trying to make her miss out on something better than what God has created for them. Do you feel the evilness of that? To cause us to think that God, who created us, who loves us, who Christ died on the cross for us and rose again, that he is not trustworthy. Folks, if we can't trust him, we're in bad shape. I can't think of anything else we can trust. Amen? And the devil's tactics haven't changed. He attacks by tempting us to question the word of God and the character of God. The lie of the devil is that we can find greater gratification apart from God, that sin will make us happier and more content. The lie is that we can be our own gods, that we can live for the created and not for the Creator without consequences. There's a saying I heard when I was a teenager, it stuck with me. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Now, we have to be careful. Sin does give pleasure for a season, the Scripture says. So initially, there is some pleasure. We don't know exactly when Eve took the first bite of that fruit what it tastes like. There's a good chance it probably tasted good because she turned around and offered it to Adam. I think if it would have tasted bad, she wouldn't have offered it to him. But it leads to death. Romans identifies exactly where ignoring what God says and not finding him trustworthy will lead us, and thinking that there's not consequences. Romans 1, beginning with verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress their truth by their wickedness. I want you to get that statement. The truth is so powerful, it has to be suppressed. But there's deliberateness here. Do you see that? This is a deliberate act to suppress the truth of God with wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human being, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for disregarding of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You can't tell me there aren't consequences to our choices. Amen. But we also must be aware how Satan uses these deceptions against us as Christians, no matter how long we've served him. We need to understand that just because we're a Christian, that the devil will not use these tactics on us, only more subtly. He tries to discourage us as followers of Jesus Christ with the same lies. Even if he knows we will not turn in rebellion against him, he will still try to discourage us or immobilize us or grip us with fear so we're paralyzed. He tries to discourage us by getting us first to doubt God's promises for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, to cause us to question that what God has told us in his word. The root of fear is unbelief and not trusting what God has promised. He tries to tell us lies that are opposite of what God has assured us of in his word. He tries to undermine who God is to us and cause us to wonder if we can really trust him, and to rob us of our confidence, joy, and peace. I may have told you this before, but I remember in my pastorate, and I was in a very discouraging time in my ministry, and things weren't going well, and it just seemed like sometimes the enemy was winning out. You ever been there? And I was praying, and I was just asking God, what's going on? And God gave me these words, Rick, no matter how much evidence that stacks up against my promises are still true. Satan will try to take the evil he has caused in our world from our fallenness and turn around and use that same evilness against us to try to convince us that God is not trustworthy. We need to remember, no matter what comes our way, difficulty, health issues, financial issues, or persecution, that God's promises are still true. Can you think of one thing this morning that is more powerful and greater than the promise of God? There is none. Hallelujah and amen. You know, we need to remember that there's a real battle going on, and we have a real enemy that wants to take us from what God has given us, just as he did from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lost all that God had created for them in the Garden of Eden over one tree's fruit. This is what Jesus said of Satan. He is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his own native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So how do we defend ourselves from these attempts of the enemy? How do we overcome against the roaring lion trying to devour our lives and trying to discourage or devour our faith in Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to give you some different references and different ideas here. God's word is full of them, amen? So this is the key, believing and knowing the truth of God's word to fight against these things. And as we heard read earlier, putting on the full armor of God. First, we need to learn from Eve. Don't believe the lie. Second, we need to learn from Joseph, who when he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife made a move on him, what'd he do? He ran. We need to run from that which is not true to God. Learn from Jesus most of all and use God's word. In the temptations of Jesus, and I'm not going to read it all, Matthew 4, 1 through 11, basically he told Satan to get lost because God's word says. And that's what we need to do. In the authority of Christ, as a child of God, we are not boasting our power. We're boasting the power of God and his word. We need to tell Satan to get lost and quote the scripture and the truth. James 4, 7 through 8 gives us three more strategies to overcome and be victorious. In one verse, he gives us these three things. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And here's the most important part. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. Amen. The best strategy to be victorious over sin and temptation is to draw near to God in Christ Jesus. We need to take advantage of what God has made possible for us by dying on the cross for our sins and rising victorious over death so we could be restored to God and come near to Him. Amen? Amen. Look at the lengths He went to make it possible for you and me to come near to Him. That says a lot about how much He loves us. That says a lot about how much He cares for us. And then David, and let me just make this statement. And it's inevitable that temptations will come to us. It is not inevitable that we must give in to them when they do. Let me say that again. It is inevitable that temptations will come to us. It is not inevitable that we must give in to them when they do. Scripture promises that with every temptation, God provides a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:12. And then David in the Psalms gives us some more advice. Psalms 119, 10 through 13. Notice what he does. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Folks, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop asking God to teach you. Probably some of the greatest lessons I've learned have been in the last decade of my life, if not the last 10 months of my life. And then David says, my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. So we profess it as well. I would like to say this morning, there's a one and done victory, but the battle we are in is not one and done. As me and Tim talk about sometimes, contending for our faith. It's not one and done till the eastern sky splits open and Jesus comes victorious and takes us home. Then it's a one and done. Amen? Amen. And I don't want to miss that one. There is a one and done. And that's why I'm preaching this message this morning. So that we'll be ready for it. Amen? Amen. We'll be prepared. We'll be victorious. We'll be who Christ wants us to be because we trusted that he is trustworthy. The word of God is full of promises. I'm going to give you a formula. It's not going to be up here. I don't know. Is anything up here? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking out here, so I don't know. Oh, well, there it is. Back there. I'm going to give you a couple formulas. Here's Satan's formula. The three D's. The three D's. Distraction, deception, disobedience. Those aren't new with me. I heard them somewhere. Distraction, deception, disobedience. That sums up the story of Eve. First, she was distracted by the tree and its fruit. Second, she was deceived by a lie. And thirdly, she gave herself over to disobedience. But God has the three T's. Now, these I come up with, so they may not be worth as much. The three T's. Turn to God and His Word. Time with God. trust and obey. I believe with you those three T's, they will overcome the three D's. And I just want to give you some encouragement this morning. One thing we must believe and remind ourselves as well, we do not fight this battle alone. Praise the Lord. I would have lost a long time ago. I would have never had the first win if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now, I want to be careful with these promises. I know sometimes these promises are given in context to a certain people at a certain time. So I don't want to quote them out of context, but I do want you to see the heart of God for us. Amen? Because I do believe, even if he spoke a promise of how he would protect and fight for people in the Old Testament, I still believe the Scripture tells me he's the same God, and if he fought for them, he'll fight for us. And he is fighting for us right now. 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. That story, I won't go into it. It's a message in itself. But Jehoshaphat had told God and prayed, Lord, we don't have the strength to go out and fight our enemy. And after the word of the Lord came to them, guess what God told them to do? Go face what you fear. I don't know what you're facing this morning or what Satan's trying to cast doubt on in your life this morning. But go out and face it in faith, knowing that you do not face it alone. God is with you if you have put your faith in him. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, for the Lord God, Lord your God, is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. And of course, Christ's words to Paul in 1 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You know, there might be someone here today or watching online who's struggling with who they can trust. We live in a world of suspicion and distrust. Things we've trusted in the past can no longer be trusted because they've given themselves over to evil. We see things failing in our culture, in our nation, that we have trusted in or thought would always be there that are going away. Or maybe you've been hurt deeply by someone you thought you could trust and they failed or abandoned you. And Satan, as a result, has tried to lie to you and convince you that you can't even trust God himself. But I want to assure you this morning, God will not fail you when you put your trust in him. It's clear in the Scripture, he cannot lie. He is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. And he is trustworthy. Hebrews 6:18 establishes that it's impossible for God to lie. Is there a tree of option in your life this morning? We have the tree of life, Jesus Christ, before us. And he has done everything he can and continues to do through his Holy Spirit to draw us and bring us to the tree of life. We need to make sure that there is no other tree in our life that's drawing us away from God. Something alluring, something enticing, something promising, something that it cannot deliver. I'm glad to report this morning, as I close this message, the tree of life still exists. Amen. And His name is Jesus. He's alive and He's well. And if you partake of Him, you will live forever. Sins will be forgiven. New life will be given. Old things will be passed away, and all things will become new when we partake of the tree of life, Jesus Christ. I'm glad that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil did not win out. Amen? But the tree of life, but we have to choose, amen? We have to take it and believe it and trust that our God is trustworthy. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You that there is victory in Jesus, and that we are more than conquerors through the One who loves us. And so, God, encourage our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live sober, alert lives. Help us, Lord, to take time to feast on Your word and to know it well, not just when we come to church on Sunday, but every day and throughout the week. May we be in Your word, so that when the schemes of the devil come, we will be fully armored with the full armor of God, so that we can fight against the schemes of the devil. God, I just pray specifically this morning that we not fight each other, but we fight the spirit behind who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. If we're in a difficult relationship or dealing with difficult things with other people, may we not attack them, but may we go to prayer and attack the spirit that's operating in their lives. Lord, we don't attack our government this morning, but in prayer we pray against the spirit that's operating in our government here in America today. I pray, God, that You would just defeat the enemy and open people's hearts and minds, set them free from the bondage of sin, and help them, Lord, to lead us well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.